Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Welcome. Good morning. Happy Sunday. As Jessica said, it's starting to warm up outside, right? And it looks like it's going to be a lot warmer throughout this week. Although, it's a big dip I saw on Tuesday. It's supposed to go minus 30 again. But, you know, the weather always plays tricks with us, I feel like. It goes up and down. You just got to go with it, right? But there is more sunlight. There is more sunlight. It's progressing towards that. We love the month of June. There seems to be sunlight all the time, right? That's where it's headed. That's where it's going. We're happy about that. Today we are here. We are studying together the book of James in this series, Practically Speaking. Thank you for joining us. This is the third week of our series. We have pushed you into thinking about putting your faith into action. And then today we shift gears a little bit. We're looking at James chapter 3 and looking at what he says about taming our tongue. You have been challenged already by us. I challenged you, and then Matthew challenged us last week into moving beyond words and putting our faith into action. Now, James in chapter 3 takes us a different route, and that is we confront one of the most difficult areas of our faith, which is taming the tongue. I'm hoping you guys enjoyed that visual at the beginning. It's interesting to see it in a cartoon-style thing, right? But it was also very biblically sound. It actually had almost parts of it was word for word from the Bible, which I think it's pretty good. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy that. What does it mean to tame the tongue? We're going to talk a lot about that this morning. But it just want to make sure everybody understands that this is written with the premise that words carry immense power. They can build others up, and they can tear them down as well. James emphasizes the urgency that we have as believers to control our speech. Our words reveal what's happening in our hearts and reflect the character of Christ to the world. Every one of us has said something that we wish we could take back. Everybody relate to that? Yes. Or maybe you heard words or heard something that has stayed with you far longer than you ever wanted to stay with you. We're going to explore how our words reflect the character of Christ and the importance of speaking life and truth in our everyday communication. Now, to help us understand how serious this is, consider this well-known story about a pastor who wanted to teach his congregation the power of words. He gave each member a feather. Everybody knows the feathers, right? Light, thin. He gave each member of his church a feather. And then they went to stand at the top of a hill. And on a windy day, they released those feathers into the air. The feathers were quickly carried through the wind in every direction. They just seem to go everywhere. I don't know if you can imagine that, but I do. It's like a visual thing that's like, all of a sudden, all the feathers are going everywhere and you can't see where they're going. Afterwards, the pastor told the members to go and collect all of the feathers that they had released. And of course, that was impossible for them to do. The pastor then explained to them, "This is what happens with our words. Once they are spoken, we cannot take them back. Like feathers in the wind, our words spread further than we ever intended and have an impact we cannot control." This story illustrates an important truth for us. The words we speak can never be fully retracted. Whether they are words of blessing or words of harm, they leave our mouths and take on a life of their own, influencing others in ways we might not realize. This is why James calls us to tame our tongue, recognizing the lasting impact our words can have. Now, this is a powerful illustration of how our words hold power and can never be taken back, for better and for worse. This is the very reason James takes our speech so seriously. Now let us turn to God's word and hear what James has to say about the power of speech. And thank you, Mike, for reading the scripture for us already. I'm going to just read quickly James 3, verses 1 to 5. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. If you use your app, you can do that as well. So again, it's James 3, verses 1 through 5. Now many of us should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Again, that's James 3, verses 1 to 5. Now, we see James is making a critical point. Our tongues, though small, have tremendous influence. He uses vivid metaphors to paint a picture. A small spark can start a great forest. And I feel like here in the North, we all know about that, right? Something so small can have such a huge impact. A bit in the mouth of a horse can control the entire animal. A small rudder can steer a massive ship. And in the same way, our tongues, though tiny, I mean, some are bigger than others, but they're relatively small, can guide the direction of our lives. Now consider for a moment the power of words. A few sentences can lift someone up or tear them down. With just a word, we can express love, encourage someone, or bring healing to a hurting heart. But equally, with just a word, we can wound somebody deeply, stir up conflict, or spread falsehoods. You get to choose whether you speak life or death over someone, and either way, the impact can last far longer than we ever intended it to. In this passage, James gives us three powerful truths about our tongues, and then points us towards the solution. So let's walk through them together this morning. And the first one there is, our tongues hold incredible power. Our tongues hold incredible power. James compares it in verse 3 to a bit we use to control a horse. In verse 4, to a rudder who steers a ship. In verse 5, to a small spark that can start a forest fire. All very small themselves, but with incredible ability. Some to control the large, powerful bodies they're attached to, whether a horse or a ship, or to burn extensive spaces. Our tongue is like that. Your tongue is like that. James says, it's a relatively small part of your body, but it helps determine the whole course of your life. People form their opinions about you based on your words. They determine your intelligence based or by your words. You begin and you end relationships with your words. With your tongue, you draw people close or push them away. Now for a second, think about how words have changed your life. Words like, I love you, I'm proud of you, we want you here. And then, you're not very good. We're going in a different direction. Our best relationships came through words. Your most estranged or most difficult relationships became that way through words. History gives us a sobering example of what words can do on a massive scale. Now, the horror of the Holocaust reminds us that the devastation often does not begin with weapons, but with words. Think about the destruction that has come into the world through words. It's been said that 125 people died for every word of Adolf Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf. We know about the horror of the Holocaust, but we often don't think about how it all began with words. Not weapons, but with words. And now, bringing it closer to home, think about the destruction that has come into your life through words. Take a moment. Think about it. If I asked you to recount the most painful time of your life, chances are it would involve something that was said to you. Maybe some of you know the infamous story of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. I'm not sure if there's boxing fans in here. But you might know the story of the epic boxing battle and the bitter feud that surrounded it. But what you may not know about them is that they have previously been the best of friends. What ended their friendship was when Ali, in an effort to promote the fight, began calling Frazier Uncle Tom or an ugly gorilla. The war of words got so bitter that not only did it end their friendship, it left deep reservoirs of hatred. Their friendship was destroyed. And the hatred lingered for decades, all because of what was said. Maybe you have a relationship like that. Like a bit, like a rudder, like a fire, the tongue contains the power of life and death. James is warning us that the influence of our tongue is far-reaching and powerful, even more than we often realize. We see the truth in everyday lives. Again, think about the last time that someone spoke words of encouragement to you, how it might have strengthened you. I can think of ways that Jessica has encouraged me, or ways a friend has spoken truth over me, or even the way that a stranger has complimented my t-shirt at the grocery store. Those encounters lift me up. They make me feel fuller, feeling lighter. And I could keep going with some examples like that. But now I also want to shift. Now think about the last time that someone criticized you harshly or gossiped about you behind your back. How deeply it stung. And how long the effects of that interactions lasted. There are conversations that I have had with people that have stuck with me over years and years. I remember my kindergarten teacher telling my parents and I that I would never speak English. And here I am today. I remember being kicked off the choir when I was a kid. I mean, they did it in a nice way, and they talked to me and stuff, but I still remember they saying, Jabin, you got to be off the choir. Your sisters can stay, but you got to go off the choir. I can still feel the way the words of a teacher or a classmate stung. It also made me feel insecure about myself, and I confess that. And that those things changed when I finally had a growth spurt. And then I ended up being 12 years old and 6'2", right? I grew tall enough that no one dared to bother me anymore. I also recall times when I was on the other side of the situation, though, using my words for harm and not good. It can be painful to look back and see times when I left that hurtful impact on somebody else. The tongue influences not only our lives, but the lives of others. It shapes relationships. It shapes communities. And even entire societies sometimes. That's why, as believers, we must recognize that God has given us this influence for a purpose. To speak life. To build others up. And to reflect His love in everything we say. The question is not whether our words have power, but how are we using that power? Are we using our words to glorify God and bless others? Or are we allowing carelessness or harmful words to have their way? James challenges us to consider the great responsibility we have with our tongues. We have the power to guide, to steer, to influence. So let us be mindful of how we use this God-given gift. Reflect on the influence of your words. Are they directing others towards growth and love? Or are they leading them away from truth? Let's commit to using our words to influence others for good, just as Christ's words brought life and hope. In the scripture, James now turns to influence our tongue, or from the influence our tongue can have, to the potential of destruction. And that is James 3, verse 6 to 8. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course for one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Here James describes the destructive potential of the tongue, comparing it to a fire capable of setting an entire forest ablaze. Just a small spark can ignite a whole wildfire that consumes everything in its path. A single careless word can wreak havoc in our relationships, in reputations, and even within the body of Christ. The damage caused by gossip, slander, or angry speech can spread far beyond what we intended it to, leaving scars that may never actually fully heal. James wants us to understand that the tongue is never neutral. It is either bringing life or spreading destruction. There's nothing in the middle, he says. It's either bringing life or bringing destruction. James further emphasizes the difficulty of taming the tongue, calling it a restless evil full of deadly poison. Which brings me to point number two for this morning. An uncontrolled tongue becomes poison. An uncontrolled tongue becomes poison. This highlights the spiritual danger of unchecked speech, the tongue. When uncontrolled by the Holy Spirit, can be an instrument of sin. Sowing discord and destruction in our lives and the lives of others. The words we speak reflect the condition of our hearts. And without self-discipline, our speech can easily be influenced by pride, bitterness, or anger. James warns that taming the tongue is not only difficult, but also essential to living a life that honors God. Therefore, it is crucial to practice self-discipline in our speech, recognizing that it is not merely about avoiding hurtful words, but about actively choosing to speak words of life and blessing. We must be intentional in our words, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our conversations so that our speech reflects the love, the grace, and the truth of Christ, encouraging, uplifting, and truthful words have the power to bring healing where destruction once reigned. As believers, we are called to be instruments of peace and restoration. And one of the greatest ways we can do this is by using our words to build up rather than to tear down. I'm going to share another story with you. It's another illustration. There was a young boy who had a terrible habit of speaking harshly and losing his temper. Maybe some of you guys have heard this before. Whenever he was upset, he would lash out with hurtful words, so his father, hoping to teach him a lesson, gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he spoke in anger, he should hammer a nail into the fence in the backyard. The first day, the boy hammered 37 nails into the fence. Over the next few weeks, as he began to understand the impact of his words, he slowly began to control his tongue. Eventually, the boy learned to keep his temper, and the number of nails hammered into the fence decreased. One day, he realized he hadn't hammered a single nail into that fence. He was happy. He was pleased. Pleased with his progress. Then his father told him to start removing one nail for each day he managed to hold his tongue. After some time, the boy had removed all of the nails from the fence. The father then took the boy to the fence and said, "You have done well. You have done well. But look at the holes that are left behind. This fence will never be the same," he continued. "When you say things in anger, they leave scars just like these holes in the fence. No matter how many times you say sorry, the wound remains." The illustration shows us the destructive potential of the tongue. Once spoken, hurtful words leave lasting marks on the hearts of others. Even if we apologize, the damage often remains. Like the holes in the fence, the wounds caused by our careless words may never fully disappear. The lesson here is that words, once spoken, can leave permanent marks. This is why James urges us to consider the consistency of our words. Now I'm going to read James 3, verses 9 to 12. "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water." Now here, the Apostle James addresses the inconsistency that often plagues our speech. He observes the contradiction of using the same mouth to praise God and to curse others, highlighting a deep hypocrisy is how we use our words. The inconsistency reveals a gap between what we say in worship and how we speak in our everyday interactions. As Christians, our words should reflect the character of Christ, not only in moments of worship, but throughout the week, in every conversation that we have. Consistency in our speech is crucial. Our words of blessing towards God should not be neglected or negated by words of anger, gossip, or slander towards others. James paints this powerful picture of a spring, reminding us that it cannot produce both fresh and salt water in the same way. A Christian speech should not produce both blessings and curses. Our third point, and the last one for this morning, is that our words reveal our hearts. Our words reveal our hearts. The importance of consistency in our words is echoed throughout Scripture. Now I'm going to jump to Matthew here, Matthew 12:34. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This passage reveals to us that our words reflect what is in our hearts. If we are praising God with our lips, yet tearing others down with the same tongue, it reveals an inconsistency in our heart and character. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." This is reminding us that our words can either bring life or cause destruction. The call to speak with consistency is not about avoiding harmful speech, but intentionally choosing words that reflect the purity of a transformed heart and the grace that we've received in Christ. This principle calls us to examine the faith that we profess. Are we consistent in using our words to bless and uplift others, or do we allow harmful, negative speech to undermine the faith that we profess? Colossians 4:6 advises, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This means that our words should consistently reflect grace and truth, even in difficult situations. We must strive to speak words that build up, that encourage, and bring healing. Words that align with the character of God. By doing so, we honor God. We strengthen our witness and avoid the spiritual inconsistency that James is warning us against. Let our speech be a testimony of the work God is doing in our hearts, showing the world the integrity and love of Christ in every conversation. I have an example for you. I call it a remarkable example of the consistent use of words for good. And that comes from a lady, and her name was Mary Kay Ash. And she is the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics. I think everybody knows Mary Kay Cosmetics, right? Mary Kay, early in her career, worked as a salesperson in a direct sales company. Despite her talent and dedication, she repeatedly experienced the frustration of being passed over for promotions, as her male colleagues, often less qualified, were advanced instead of her. This repeated disappointment could have led her to bitterness and resignation, but Mary Kay chose a different path. Instead of responding with anger or resentment, she took a step back to evaluate her values and how she could make a difference in her words and actions. In 1963, she left her job and, using her life savings, founded what would become Mary Kay Cosmetics. What set her business apart wasn't just its product, but the philosophy and culture that she built around it. Mary Kay deeply believed in the power of encouragement. Her personal motto was praise people to success, a principle she embedded in the core values of her company. She insisted that every employee, no matter their position, be recognized for their efforts and contributions. At the heart of her business model was the belief that people could thrive and achieve goals or achieve great things when their hard work and potential were recognized and spoken into by others. Mary Kay's approach had an extraordinary impact. Her company grew rapidly, not just because of innovative products, but because of the unique culture she cultivated, one rooted inconsistent use of positive, life-affirming words. Employees, particularly women, felt empowered to excel because they were consistently encouraged and affirmed in their abilities. Mary Kay's commitment to using words of blessing rather than words of criticism and discouragement transformed their lives and built one of the greatest and most successful direct sales businesses in the world. I think Mary Kay understood the truth James speaks of, that words, when used consistently to build up, can change the trajectory of lives and inspire greatness. I believe that this story beautifully illustrates the principle that James highlights in verses 9 to 12. Mary Kay's life is a testament to the power of speaking with consistency, using words to uplift rather than to tear down. Just as Mary Kay Ash's business was built on the foundation of encouragement and affirmation, we too are called to use words consistently to bless others. When we speak life, when we affirm those around us and intentionally avoid destructive speech, we create an environment where people can thrive and grow. Let Mary Kay's example challenge us to reflect on our own words. Do we consistently encourage those around us? Are our words building others up, or are they tearing them down? As James reminds us, fresh water and salt water cannot flow from the same spring in the same way. Let us be consistent in using our tongues for good, bringing healing, bringing encouragement, bringing hope to all those around us. By doing so, we reflect the love and grace of Christ, and our words become a powerful tool in transforming the world that is all around us. I'm not saying it's easy. And as you are intentionally looking at the words you say, a lot of things will come up about the words that you have taken in. And that is a journey in itself, recognizing the impact that words that have been spoken over you have on your life. But that is not what God is calling us to do. Yes, we're going to remember those, and we have to work through those, and we can pray with you through those, because it's always good when you share that and people can pray into you. We're giving people affirmation. We're giving people the truth. We let the light shine where there is darkness. That is what he's calling us to. Yes, we need to work intentionally to use our words for the good, but as we do that, let's work on the things that are in us, within us. Is there things that you need to work through and figure out? We can help you shine light on what is truth and what is lies. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they do that, I'm also going to encourage you. If there are things in your life, as we're talking about words and what they mean and the impact that some words have had in your life, if you want to pray, if you want us to pray with you, come. Don't be afraid to come. If you want to pray, come, and we can pray for you and with you. I'm going to pray for all of us now. Heavenly Father, we come before you, acknowledging the power of our words. Your word reminds us that our speech can bring life or cause harm. And we confess the times we've spoken carelessly or in anger. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to reflect your love in everything we say. By your Holy Spirit, guide us to speak with consistency, choosing words that bless and build others up. Give us hearts full of grace and wisdom, so our speech always points to you, Lord. Help us to be mindful of our words, using them to bring healing, hope, and encouragement. Lord, help us shine a light in the truth about who we are. Lord, we call upon you to break chains that have kept us tied down to things that are not true. The words that might have been spoken into us, we just ask you to break those chains. Come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to play a last song here, but if you want to pray, you can come to the front, or you can meet in the back, whatever it is you need. If you need prayer, come and seek prayer.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.